Translation. Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembles a crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Swarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas and other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the back of his carrier, Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. In this verse, the word vimoksha is significant. For a devotee, moksha, or mukti, salvation, means getting the position of the Lord's associate. The impersonalists are satisfied to get the liberation of merging into the Brahman effulgence. But for a devotee, mukti, liberation means not to merge into the effulgence of the Lord, but to be directly promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and to become an associate of the Lord. In this regard, there is a relevant verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Tatenu kampam su samikshamano unjana evatma ritam vipakam vidvag vapurbhya vidadan namaste jivete yo muktipade sa dayabak. One who sees your compassion, one who seeks your compassion, and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, and who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words and body, and who always offers obeisance unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee who tolerates everything in this material world and patiently executes his devotional service can become Muktipada Sa Dayabak, a bona fide candidate for liberation. The word Dayabak refers to hereditary right to the Lord's mercy. A devotee must simply engage in devotional service, not caring about material situations. Then he automatically becomes a rightful candidate for promotion to Vaikuntha Loka. The devotee who renders unalloyed service to the Lord gets the right to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, just as a son inherits the property of his father. When a devotee gets liberation, he becomes free from material contamination and engages as a servant of the Lord. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. Muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena viyavastitihi. The word svarupa refers to svarupya mukti, going back home, back to Godhead, and remaining the Lord's eternal associate, having regained a spiritual body exactly resembling that of the Lord, with four hands holding Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. The difference between the mukti of the impersonalist and that of the devotee is that the devotee is immediately appointed an eternal servant of the Lord, whereas the impersonalist, although merging into the effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti, is still insecure and therefore generally falls again to this material world. Aruya Krishrena Param Padam Patata Patantyado Nadrida Yasmut Angraya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Although the impersonalist rises to the Brahman effulgence and enters into that effulgence, he has no engagement in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is again attracted to materialistic philanthropic activities. Thus he comes down to open hospitals and educational institutions, feed poor men and perform similar materialistic activities, which the impersonalist thinks are more precious than serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anadri yasmut angrayaha. The impersonalists do not think that the service of the Lord is more valuable than serving the poor man or starting a school or hospital. Although they say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mritya, Brahman is real and material world is false, they are nonetheless very eager to serve the false material world and neglect the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Omiganti mirandasya garanjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai shri guruve namah shri chaitanya manobishtam tam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svabhadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sacha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Vinda Vanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this is the reward for Gajendra, the king of the elephants, that previously had performed some devotional service as the Indra. He'd gone to the forest to after retirement, and untoward thing happened that he was cursed by a sage. And he saw this as the mercy of the Lord, actually. A devotee always sees Krishna's mercy in every situation, even though it was a reversal. And therefore, at some opportune moment, even though he was in great difficulty, that devotional service wasn't lost, in that it came to mind by the grace of the Lord. The Lord made in a situation where his devotee was cursed, put into a very difficult circumstance, but from that came great auspiciousness. So a devotee has to see like that, that devotional service goes on, and sometimes it's not always what we would like it to be, but it's what maybe Krishna thinks it should be. And so a devotee is always introspective, what is actually Krishna's plan in this situation. And so the end result is that Gajendra becomes liberated Sarupya Mukti. So it talks about the different kinds of Mukti, and it, of course, this verse Tatenu Kampam. This is a devotee who is in that mood that whatever happens, I know it's good for me because Krishna's in charge. He's in that consciousness. So let me accept it and carry on glorifying the Lord with body, mind, and words. And then there's nothing lost, there's everything to gain. And ultimately, by this mentality, we are liberated in the Supreme. So this liberation in the Supreme is called Muktipad in this particular verse. And so when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, he quoted this verse, he was reciting this verse to the Lord in his own interpretation. And when he came to the word Muktipad, he gave Bhaktipad. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you do that?" And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started to explain that generally when we say Mukti, people take the impersonal understanding. There's different kinds of Mukti. There's Sarupya, having the same form of the Lord. This is what Gajendra took. Sharsti, having the same opulence. Samipya, being an associate of the Lord. And Salokya, living on the same planet. And then there's one which nobody wants to accept, only the impersonalists, and that's Sarupya. And so this is what Sarvabhauma is talking about, this Sarupya Mukti. He doesn't want to confuse this Sarupya with Bhakti. Actually, he doesn't really understand it properly because he's just become from an impersonalist to a personalist. So he's remembering this mukti, oh, terrible thing. I want to say bhakti. And so Lord Chaitanya starts to reciprocate with him. And so Sarvabhaumacharya goes on to explain that out of these, this Sayujya Mukti, which is rejected by the devotees, there's two kinds of persons who get this mukti. One's the impersonalist, but also, to show how advanced an impersonalist may be, also the demons get it. They get the same result. He said, well, somebody who is a demon is liberated by the Lord, he also gets this Sayujya Mukti. So there's no great gain. And Prabhupada explains in one verse, this, what verse is it? Yanyari Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas. They're liberated only in mind. They think themselves liberated. You know, how can we be liberated when we're still in, you know, we've just negated material things for some time. We're not really liberated. We have nothing to hold on to. We're in a suspended situation. They're only thinking themselves liberated. A person may be falling and he may think he's free. But sooner or later he's going to get a shock. And so this is what happens. The Aruri Krishna, their activities are only very troublesome in the end. They work very, very hard. And so therefore they call the devotees sentimentalists for taking the easy way, as Mother Kalungana said that in the last class. They don't want to take the, what is it? What's that medicine? So it starts with H. There's different three kinds of medicine. Ayurvedic, homeopathic. They don't want to take the homeopathic medicine. It's just a little pill. You don't even taste it, but it cures. They want to take something horrible. And so Aruri Krishna. And in Lord Brahma says, this is like, you know, taking the big endeavour to beat a husk of grain which has already been beaten. There's nothing in it. And so it's like, what's that verse? Puna puna charvita charvananam. Come chewing the chewed. So this is one. This is the Shreem Shri Udashyate Vibho, it's called. Kleshya, very difficult. And so a devotee avoids that. So this is one kind of liberation. The other kind is by the impersonalist. Shishupal was one. He got another kind of liberation, which we can talk about now. There's two kinds of liberation, actually. One is merging into the effulgence of the Lord, and one is merging into the Lord. And it says the one who merges into the Lord is most unfortunate. The first one is like the demon. Both is demon, actually, but demon and impersonalist, the jnani. But the next one who merges into the body of God is the yogi. He meditates on the form of the Lord in the heart, and he gets to understand the super soul. But for some reason, he doesn't want to do service. So he comes to see the Lord, but he doesn't actually serve the Lord. He prefers merging into the body of the Lord. And this is most unfortunate after getting that opportunity. And Shishupal was one of those, weren't he? He's also a demon. So demons merge into both these different aspects. When Maharaj Yudhisthira thought, how did he do that? A shining light came out of Shishupal's body. He'd just been blaspheming Krishna non-stop, every day. And this was the final day. He went one over the top. He went too far. Instead of doing 99 blasphemes, he got so angry he forgot. And he blasphemed 100 times. So immediately, Krishna sliced his head off. And so then a big white light came out of Shishupal's body and merged into the Lord's. And Maharaj Yudhisthira couldn't believe it. How does a case like that get that kind of liberation? And so then Narada Muni started to preach to him. Of course, we'll not go into all that. But it says that anybody can approach the Lord, whether he blasphemes, whether he's envious, whether he's fearful, or so many things. But there's one thing that he has to have sense control. We cannot be sahajas. We have to be in control of the senses. But it's a very, very precarious situation. It's thought that if we control the senses, eventually the mind becomes controlled. And then even if we have some anger, this can be actually purified. But as we know ourselves, when we don't have the right attitude in devotional service, if anger comes, if envy comes, it just multiplies. It's a big effort to keep things under control. So these things are not recommended, that we have anger towards the Lord. Theoretically, it's possible, and if we get the mercy of the devotees, but practically it's very difficult. The devotee has to develop a favourable attitude. This is what we're working for. This is the whole point of devotional service. It's not what we do. We might do so many things. Devotees have done so many things. But, you know, to maintain means we have to have why we do it. That why again. Anybody remember this? Why we do things. This is very important. Why are we doing this? We have to keep the vision in mind. The goal in mind. And then we can actually achieve the goal. So this is merging into the body of the Lord. Is there anything about... So, an impersonalist will come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. When Ramananda Rai was asked by Lord Chaitanya to quote a verse from the Shastras about the ultimate goal of life, he started, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, with the Varnashram system. Very important. And then this was rejected as being external. Then he said, okay, do everything for Krishna. Offer everything to Krishna. Also, it can be done unconsciously, external. Okay, surrender completely to Krishna. We may not be in knowledge. Okay, develop knowledge. This is the impersonalist which we come into now. So, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. We come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. And then it says we're eligible for devotional service. But then the next verse says that we should actually engage in devotional service. And so this is the difference, is that to engage in that devotional service, we need something more. What do we need? Something which the impersonalists think they can do without. The materialists think they can do without. I'm going to do it on my own. Hey, we need the mercy. We need the mercy of a devotee. And then we can come from that point to bhaktyamam abhijanati. We can come to devotional service. So this is the difference, that Gajendra, although he was actually become a gross materialist externally, become an elephant in fact, that devotional service never goes in vain. And so it's even in this situation, he's took the mercy of the Lord to liberate him, to get him back to Godhead. So this is a devotee's outlook, that we may make so many endeavours in our devotional service. And we can become frustrated by that, thinking, I can't do it, it's just too difficult. But a devotee is always remembering that, no, I can't do it. I see it's Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the devotees. And this understanding of that we're actually mercy cases, we're dependent on the devotees and Krishna, actually keeps us enthusiastic in devotional service. Otherwise, it's impossible. We're not strong enough to fight Maya. We have to take shelter. We're always dependent on the mercy of other devotees. And there's a nice verse, actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 9th canto. It talks about the outlook of a devotee. It says that... Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. It's talking about a devotee who's got no good qualifications. He's not born in a high family. He's not attracted to those things which actually generate devotional. So he's not, in other words, he's not attracted to Vaidhi Bhakti. He has no mystic power. He's not born in a good family. Does anybody recognize this? He says, but he's still got great hope, Ashabanda. Is that, you know, Lord Krishna is very merciful. And he's depending on that mercy and remembering that. And so therefore he's got great hope, this Ashabanda. And so a devotee has to have that understanding in devotional service, that we're dependent on Krishna. And by depending on Krishna, then we become very quickly make progress. When there's difficulty, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? What's that verse? Chetasa sarvakamani mai sanyasi matpara buddhiyogam zapashvicha machita satatam bhava. In all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So this is what we're working for. In everything we do, we're not just trying to achieve something. That result, Krishna says, that's up to me. Don't worry about the result. Whether that result comes or not, it doesn't really matter. The result is that we're learning how to see Krishna in the field of our activities. We're learning how to remember Krishna when we're performing activities and depending on Krishna. And then actually a devotee develops that outlook and that peacefulness from within. He's got the goal in mind. What's the Bhagavad Gita say about a goal? Without a goal in mind, then we cannot be peaceful. And without that goal in mind, without that peace, we cannot become happy in devotional service. So we can experience devotional service now. It's not that we're waiting to get the jackpot at the end. We can experience it now. This is what Krishna's saying. Prashanta manasamyenam yoginam sukam utamam upaitya shanta radisham brahma bhuta akalmasam. In other words, a devotee whose mind's fixed on Krishna, he attains the highest transcendental service of the Lord. The highest transcendental pleasure. He actually goes beyond the mode of passion, which is causing us so much problems. And he realizes his spiritual nature in relationship to the Supreme Lord. The yogi whose mind is... So the aim is to fix our mind on Krishna in everything we do. And we may say that's difficult. But Arjuna did it. We've never been in a more difficult situation than Arjuna. He was fighting for his life. Brahmastras were coming towards him. He was going to fight back. But Krishna said, remember me. So it's possible. So coming back to this verse, we're talking about a devotee depends on the Lord like Rajendra did, whereas an impersonalist is dependent on his own particular intelligence and ability. And therefore that's limited in respect to the material energy. The material energy is so powerful, we don't have any chance. And so an impersonalist will eventually, he'll come back, Padantiada, Nadrida Yasmut Angraya. Vedanti Ada, fall down again. So Lord Chaitanya, he said, no, Muktipad is actually Krishna. But Krishna's feet are Muktipad. He says, you've got the wrong understanding. And he said that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya said, there are 9 cantos. 1 to 9, including this one, is talking about different stages of mukti. So even Gajendra is getting a stage of mukti. This is called sarupya. So a devotee doesn't even want sarupya. He doesn't want anything from the Lord. He says he'll only accept these different liberations if there's some service. He's not accepting anything for his own sense gratification. So these are described as being types of liberation. So in chapters 1 to 9, Lord Chaitanya said there are 9 kinds of liberation. There are different kinds of mukti. But then in chapter 10, which is the cream of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're talking about Krishna. And Krishna is Mukunda, the giver of liberation. So we're talking about Muktipad. He's a shelter of all other liberations. So a devotee will see this verse in that relationship. That Muktipad means Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. But Sarvabhauma, at least superficially at that point, was thinking of his old way of life. Muktipad means impersonal liberation, so he changed it. And so, actually at that point, Sarvabhauma said, I still don't like this word. And Lord Chaitanya was surprised. He said, because it still reminds me of this. From my past, it still reminded me of this horrible liberation. It's fearful. And then Lord Chaitanya started laughing and embraced Sarvabhauma. He'd actually become a real devotee. So there's no attraction for a real devotee, for anything material. Actually, this Mayavad philosophy is so dangerous. When Prabhupada, we say every time we say our pronounce for Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Shunyavadi is voidism or Buddhism. But actually, Nirvishesha is more dangerous, because at least the Buddhists admit that we don't follow the Vedas. But the Mayavadis, they pretend to follow the Vedas and interpret the meaning. So what's the most powerful thing in a war? What's the most powerful thing? The amount of allies you've got. Yes. Or is it, you've got Krishna on your side. Well, it would be actually if you've got Krishna on your side. But the amount of allies, the amount of arms you've got. Is it that? You're on the higher ground. These are all beneficial. The art of war, they call it. Or is it knowing the tactics? Knowing the strategy? All these things, in modern-day warfare, they look to these things very, very much, and then they'll attack if they're in the right situation. But no, the most important thing is if you have a good spy. If you have a good spy, then, you can actually understand where the enemy are at and easily defeat them. They say in the Second World War, they tried to finish the war early. They sent the troops into Arnhem, the paratroopers. But somehow or other, they were waiting for them. They'd got a good spy. So everything was defeated, the surprise, everything. And so an impersonalist is like that, he's a spy. The people talking, oh yes, Krishna's God, oh yes, Shiva's God, oh yes. And then at the end of this conversation, what comes out? Yes, they're all God. So it's disguised in the beginning. So Prabhupada says, immediately starts speaking the Bhagavad Gita Krishna. When it starts in earnest, it starts in Na Tvevaham Jatuna Samnama Tvam Nemi Janadipaha Na Cheva Na Vavishyamaha Savam Sarve My Achama. Alright, don't worry. Vayam, yes. So, in this verse, Krishna's speaking, but Prabhupada elaborates on it in such a way, he's talking about that we're eternal. But Prabhupada immediately comes in preaching Bhagavad Gita about Mayavadis. He immediately defeats the Mayavadis. And in the next verse, he carries on. What's the thing? I've wrote a few things down which... We should all learn this, actually. We may have to deal with Mayavadis very much in the future. Because we're living in the material world in the West, and everybody's got that impersonal nature. How can we understand that? Just a way of life. When it's a personalistic philosophy, then everybody's drawn together. I give this example. When you're driving in the country, you see these little hamlets, and in the middle is the church. And, only 100 years ago, Prabhupada said 200 years ago, everybody was very pious, even in the West. Everybody used to live around the local church. It was centered; their life was centered around that. And so everybody was together. Now what is it? What do you see in the middle of the city? Big shopping center, big boxes. Materialism. And what's happening is that people are not together. There's no common goal. So people are becoming more and more impersonal towards one another. We're more and more impersonal, we become more and more envious of one another. Become more and more envious, we become more and more antagonistic, and then people become more greedy, they exploit. Everybody's being so exploited by the leaders now, it's unbelievable. We can't even get proper food to eat anymore. Why? Because they're making some profit. And so this is a result of Mayavad philosophy. Very, very dangerous. Very destroying. So Prabhupada gives some points on what to see, what Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. There we are. In 2.12, anybody can remember any arguments from 2.12? What Lord Krishna, what Prabhupada gives them in. He starts off by saying, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eka Yovadati Kaman Eka Baham Yovadati Kaman. He's saying that Krishna is a supreme, eternal. He's eternally, supremely, eternally. And we're all individual eternals. And he's eternally conscious, and we're eternally conscious. But then he makes a point that all these others are coming from Krishna. And because the word's eternal, eternally coming from Krishna, there's eternally a difference right at the beginning. So, you know, Mayavada philosophy is defeated straight away. Then Prabhupada comes in with another one. He said that the Mayavadis may say individuality is material. Yes, we're individuals now, but we've become one. And so then Prabhupada said, what about Krishna? If he's the supreme eternal, how can he be material? So if he's material, how can he teach Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita, if we have a material body, it means that we have how many defects? Many defects, but there's four prominent ones. So somebody who's got those defects cannot speak Bhagavad Gita. So that means that it defeats the Mayavadis from that point of view. Why are you reading Bhagavad Gita? Why are you commentating on Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada's really nipping the bud at the root. Nipping the bud at the root. Next one. It said that the Mayavadis are now actually, in this verse, they're putting emphasis on the body. But Krishna spoke in 2.10, or was it 2.11, and he said that the body's not important. Why are we speaking about the body? So that's another argument defeated. And then it's confirmed by the Acharyas, Prabhupada said, the Vaishnava Acharyas. And he said, finally, to understand this philosophy, one has to be a devotee. If one doesn't want to understand it, Krishna won't give the intelligence. He'll give the intelligence to be a Mayavadi. So it's understandable by devotees only. And then in the next verse, in 2.13, he starts to defeat Mayavad philosophy again. He says that in the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Bhagavad Gita, sorry, he's saying that Krishna's making a distinction between himself and Arjuna. He says, many, many births I have had. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, oh Arjuna. And so there's a difference between the living entity and Arjuna. When, you know, Arjuna leaves his body, at least externally, but Krishna is actually still conscious. And last one, Krishna is superior. The last one, this is a good one. It says that the Mayavadis say that the soul is many, but it becomes one. But if the soul is one, how is it? It says that the soul cannot be cleaved. There's three verses in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 2, 23, 24, and 25. And they all say that the soul cannot be separated at any point. But one in particular says it cannot be cut. It's always one. So how has it become many? So Prabhupada completely annihilates the Mayavada philosophy right from the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, it's 9:30 now. And actually Lord Chaitanya appeared with Panchatattva. I think I've mentioned this before. Why does he appear with Panchatattva? Why doesn't he just appear on his own? He could do. He comes in many incarnations on his own. Yeah. He's always with his associates. Yeah. Yeah, and he's having loving dealings with those different ones. All different relationships are there. Gajendra, he eventually got the supreme liberation by having faith in devotional service, by having faith in the Lord. So if a devotee just maintains that contact with Krishna, that we're dependent on Krishna all the time, We'll never have that impersonalist tendency, which is always there due to our conditioning. In all activities, just we're depending on Krishna, remembering Krishna. In that way, we achieve the goal of life. What we achieve externally is not that important. So has anybody got any questions or comments?